Well, good morning, saints. Well, that's a little better. Are we awake? It's a good thing because that's what the message is about. Being awake. Being ready. I couldn't help but think of my grandchildren this morning when we were around the Lord's table. A couple of days ago, my wife was keeping them, and of course, she gets three of them in that little Mazda. I don't know how she does it, but they all have to get strapped in. But she's always looked upon that as a good time, since they're all strapped in, to share with them about the Lord. And so it's kind of natural for them when they get in the car to talk about Jesus. And she relayed this story to me yesterday. She had them in the car, and they're 9, 4, and 3 years old. And the 9 year old said, Nene, she said, why did the Lord have to die? Why did Jesus have to die? I think was his words. And so she began to share with them. She says, you know, we all do things wrong in our lives. Sometimes we're mean, sometimes we don't treat each other right, And we need some way to be forgiven for that. And she said that the Lord died and shed his blood that we might be forgiven by the Father. And the little four-year-old said, Nene, what you're trying to say is he sacrificed himself. Now, if that didn't grab your heart, I don't know what else will. Those little four-year-olds seem to know everything. In fact, one time he told me he knew everything. So I'm beginning to believe him. Anyway, what has been on my heart since before the conference is the need to awaken. My brother shared on Wednesday night, really touched my heart about being awakened to his soon return, and it's been on my heart ever since, and was only enhanced as we went to the conference. So I'd like to share out of the book of Revelation this morning, out of the very beginning of the book, and I have a number of scriptures to read, and so bear with me a little while. First of all, the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 3. Revelation 1:3. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep. Another version says, and pay attention to the things written in it. For the time is near. The time is at a hand. The time is just a second away. The time is just around the corner. Now let me read the passages in Revelation beginning with verse 1 in chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him to show to his bondmen what must shortly take place. And he signified it by sending his angel to his bondman John, who testified the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of the prophecy and keep or pay attention to the things that are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven assemblies which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is, who was, who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and has washed us from our sins in his blood, making us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory, the might, to the ages of ages. Amen. Behold, he comes with the clouds, and every eye shall see him. Let's turn to Luke chapter 1. And verse 26 and 27, Luke 1, verses 26 and 27. But in the sixth month to the city, Gabriel, let me start again. But in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent to God to the city of Galilee, of which the name was Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came into her and said, Hail, thou favored one, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now go to verse 35. Mary was responding to the angel, and she says, But I do not know a man. And the angel said to her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Overhighest shall overshadow thee. The holy thing also which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, thy kinswoman, she has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month to her that was called barren, for nothing is impossible with God. And Mary said, Behold, the bondmaid of the Lord, be it to me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Be it to me according to thy word. And the angel departed. Now, Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 8 through 12. And there were shepherds in the country abiding without and keeping watch by night over their flock. And lo, an angel of the Lord was there by them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were in great fear. And the angel said, Don't fear. Behold, I announce to you glad tidings of great joy, which shall be to all the people. For today a Savior has been born to you in David's city, who is Christ the Lord. Now verse 15. Let us make our way. This is their response. Let us make our way then now as far as Bethlehem, and let us see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us. And they came with haste and found both Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Now let's go to Luke chapter 2, verse 25. This is Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and pious, awaiting the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. And it was divinely communicated to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. And he came in, the Spirit, into the temple. And as the parents brought in the child, Jesus, that they might do him according to the custom of the law, he received him in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now that let thy bondman go according to thy word in peace. For my eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light for revelation of the Gentiles and a glory to thy people Israel. Now let's read verses 36 through 38. This is Anna. And there was a prophetess Anna at the temple, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher, who was far advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from her virginity, and herself a widow up to 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, serving day and night with fasting and prayer. And she continued in the same hour and gave praise to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who waited for the redemption in Jerusalem. Now let's go to Matthew chapter 2. Verse 1 and 2. Now Jesus being born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, magi from the east, wise men from the east, arrived at Jerusalem, saying, where is the king of the Jews that has been born? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to do homage. And go to verse 9. And they, having heard the king, went their way, and lo, the star, which they had seen in the east, went before them until it came and stood above the place where the little child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And having come into the house, they saw the little child with Mary his mother, and falling down, did homage. And having opened their treasures, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now let's go to Matthew 24. This will be the last one. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he was sitting upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what is the sign of thy coming and the completion of the age? What is the sign of thy coming and the completion of the age? Now go to verse 32. Learn the parable from the fig tree. When already its branch becomes tender and produces leaves, you know that summer is near. Thus also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, it is at the doors. Verse 37 through 43. But as the days of Noah, so also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. For they were in those days before the flood, eating, drinking, marrying, and giving in marriage, until the day on which Noah entered the ark. And they knew not till the flood came and took all away. Thus also shall be the coming of the Son of Man. Two shall be in the field, one taken, one left. Two women grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. Watch, therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord comes. But know this, that if the master of the house had known in what watch the thief was coming, he would have watched. He would have watched. Let's have a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning. It's just our desire this morning that we hear from you, that we hear from your word, that, Lord, you would awaken our hearts to the times in which we live and the closeness of your soon return. Lord, do touch our hearts and our spirits, Lord, deeply. Lord, that we might be ready on that day as you start your return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now back to Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and keep the things written, or pay attention to the things written, for the time is near. Blessed. This is a book. This is a letter, really, from the Lord written to us, to those who know him and love him, want to follow him. This is a special message that he has written. And it says that it's a revelation of Jesus Christ. In other words, it reveals Christ to us in a new way. And we need to listen and hear and pay attention. And not only that, but it tells us about the Lord is coming back to restore everything, to redeem everything, to recover everything back to God's full purpose. and that Christ will come and reign on this earth for 1,000 years as king, the millennium, the marriage supper of the Lamb, 1,000 years. It's a new age, brothers and sisters, that is about to come upon us. It's about to happen. And following that 1,000 years, praise the Lord, we will see the new Jerusalem. Everything will be perfected. Everything will be ready. The old earth and heavens will be burned up, and we will enter a new age, a new relationship, so to speak, with the Lord Jesus forever. Well, that's what the book is about. A lot of people read this book and just see tragedies and suffering. Well, brothers and sisters, that's because God is moving in this age to bring about His desired heart, to have His bride, to have the whole world restored in the way that God would have it. And the enemy is angry. The enemy also knows at the end of this age, the end of the millennium, his end is over. He will have no more influence at all. So he's angry. And we see all these upheavals. Well, it says, blessed, though, are those who hear and read. Blessed. Don't you want to know the blessing of the Lord? Now, we receive blessings every day. But there is a special blessing to be received in this book of Revelation. And what is that blessing? What is it that he's asking us to so be so diligent about in reading and listening and hearing and responding to? It says, pay attention, take heed. Why? What is this blessing? Well, the blessing is our Lord Jesus Christ. He is our blessing, no doubt about it. But what it's talking about here is that blessed hope in Titus 2:13, where it says, while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope, this blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The blessed hope. That is the blessing spoken of here. The blessing of the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, for which He wants us to all be ready. It's a blessing, brothers and sisters. We can now know our Lord Jesus Christ by faith in the Spirit. We commune with Him. We receive His forgiveness. We receive His everyday direction and help and encouragement and strength. We receive Him daily, and we know something of Him. But in that day, we will know Him face to face, just like I'm standing in front of you this morning. His presence will be seen with your eyes, as well as with your spirit. What a blessed hope we have. Now, we know from the Scriptures that all Christians will see the Lord face to face at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the judgment seat of Christ be a wonderful thing, but it can also be a little bit scary, because we know from the parable out of Matthew 25, when the Lord speaks of this judgment, He says to the good servants, the one who have followed Him, the one who were ready when the Master came back, He said, enter into the joy of the Lord. And that's our hope. But to the one who was not ready, the one who was really not awakened to the Lord, to the Master's coming back, and actually was mistreating other servants. In other words, he just wasn't into the Master coming back. He said, depart from me, you evil servant. Now notice he didn't call him an unbeliever. He still called him a servant. but he referred to him as evil. He was evil because he wasn't obeying the Lord. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "You're not worthy of serving with me during the kingdom age." And they will receive further discipline during that time. Another 1,000 years of discipline to really be prepared for the Lord. So we know that at the judgment seat of Christ, we will all meet the Lord face to face. And we all are desiring that we will hear those words, "Enter the joy of the Lord." But for others, for some, and it's still a possibility for us sitting in these seats, at the beginning of the Lord's return, you will be raptured alive. Alive to meet Him face to face at the throne. Not at the cloud, but at the throne. What a blessing and privilege to prepare the way for the Lord's return to this earth. For those who are ready, they will be raptured to the throne at the beginning of His return, called Parousia. What a blessing and privilege it is to be a part of that. That is why I think the Lord so wants us to pay attention to this letter, to this book, to really hear what the Spirit is saying and to respond, to pay attention to it. Make it a part of your everyday life of being ready for His soon return and prepared to meet Him. Now, I had to think about this. I said, "Lord, I'm already 69 almost, and I don't know how many more years I have." And I said, "You know, I expect You to come back any time. I really do. But, you know, I may pass away before He comes back. What about that, Lord?" We need to be ready every day. I could be on my deathbed, and the Lord could be returning. And I need to be ready to meet Him at the throne. But if I'm not, if by chance I pass away before He comes back, I do want, at the judgment seat of Christ, to hear those words, "Enter the joy of the Lord, good and faithful servant." And to be able to be with Him and serve Him 1,000 years during that millennial reign on this current earth. And to see the glory of it. We think this is a glorious earth. It's going to be even more glorious because it says the wildness and the animals will be gone. The lion and the lamb will lay down together. There will be righteousness filling the whole earth. The Lord Himself will be king and ruler. And all injustice will be dealt with immediately. It will be righteousness prevailing. Not as we see today, of course. A glorious time to serve the Lord and to be with Him and serving all these nations. Well, Revelation 19:9 said, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." I do hope that we're all invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. This is our blessed hope. Whether the Lord comes before we pass away or afterwards, He is our blessed hope. Seeing Him face to face, being able to hear Him say, "Enter the joy of the Lord and serve with me." Serve with me in the millennial period. And if we happen to be alive, how glorious to be raptured right to the throne. Never die, never pass through physical death. And as we clear the air for the Lord, Satan is thrown out in a warfare with the angels, and everything's cleared out. Of course, Satan will come to this earth, and things will really get intense at that point. But what a blessing to be a part of that welcoming party for the Lord. I think this is the reason the Lord wants us to pay attention to this letter. I think Stephen referred to this as his love letter to his saints. Kind of his words that he wanted us to be ready, because he talks about him who was and who is and is to come. That covers everything. He wants us to be ready. This is our blessed hope. This is the reason why we need to have what the Lord speaks to us concerning the revelation of Jesus Christ and His soon return really hit our hearts. You know, have that real sense in our heart that He's coming, and a desire and a passion for Him, not only as our Savior, but as our King, that we might be ready. This is our blessed hope. Then in verse 3 of chapter 1, the Lord adds an emphasis. He says, let me read it again, "Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of the prophecy, and pay attention to the things written therein, for the time is near." Some versions say the time is at hand. I always feel like it's like walking in downtown Richmond and you turn a corner and there he is. It's going to be that sudden. It's like walking through those double doors and all of a sudden he's there. You know, that's how soon it might be. Well, the time is near. He's at the doors, it says. And my heart is, do we really sense that deep in our spirits? Do we sense it to the point it makes a difference in our daily lives? You know, in the first appearing of the Lord Jesus, of which we read quite a few scriptures, the people were looking for the Messiah. How they wanted to be blessed. They were under the oppression of the Roman Empire. And they were a secondary people. They knew they were God's people, but they also knew that they were oppressed. They were not in the place they should be. And they were looking for this Messiah to come and shower his blessings upon them and to feed them, make them number one, overthrow the Roman government. These outward blessings is really what was in their heart, not the Messiah himself. You know, the Pharisees, now we put the Pharisees down, and I guess we should. But you know, they diligently searched the Scriptures. Because when King Herod asked, you know, where is he going to be born? They were able to say, hey, in Bethlehem. They knew from the Scriptures. The prophets had spoken it. They were diligently going through the Scriptures, trying to learn about the Messiah, when he might come. And they were, of course, looking forward to being the ruling party when the Messiah came. And it was always on their heart to get out from under the Roman thumb. You know, most likely, the people in Jerusalem were talking about the Messiah daily. Because they were really under oppression. And it was on their hearts. They really wanted the Messiah to come. But unfortunately, these same ones, when the Lord came, at first he was so welcome. Because he was feeding the multitudes. He was raising the dead. He was performing many miracles. And they just flocked to our Lord. But the longer he stayed, the more he spoke, the more they realized that he wasn't what they were expecting. Why hadn't he set himself up as king and overthrown the Roman government? Why wasn't he dealing with all the social issues of the time? Why? Why did they crucify our Lord? These same ones turned on him. Why? Because the Lord was concerned about their spiritual condition. The Lord was concerned about their spiritual life. The eternal life, not the temporal. He didn't fit into their concept, and they crucified him. Weren't they okay? After all, they were God's chosen one. Where was all of these physical blessings? You know, I recently read something by Sparks. He said, if our relationship with the Lord is totally for being blessed, receiving the blessings of the Lord, which is okay, by the way. He said, but if our relationship with Him is based on that, When the Lord maybe backs off some of His blessings and we become offended, I don't know if you've ever done that, but you can become offended at the Lord because you were expecting to be blessed or something and it didn't happen. Rather, what happened is the cross came. The Lord was trying to deal with us in a much deeper way. He was trying to get at the spiritual condition in our life. And we wanted outward satisfaction and He wanted inward reality, and we become offended at the Lord. Lord, why am I going through this? I thought I was your child. I thought you were going to take care of me. Look at all the trouble I'm in. Look at the impossible situation. And the Lord's trying to do a deeper work. He's getting at the spiritual things, brothers and sisters. That is His concern. And it takes the cross. But we can become offended at the cross, at the work of the cross in our lives personally. You know, when the Lord Jesus said many were following Him and He spoke about drinking His blood and eating His flesh, He of course was talking about the cross. And they didn't understand, but said many left Him. The Lord didn't try to explain Himself at all. He left it because the ones that had that spiritual contact with the Lord, when He asked them, He said, are you going to leave also? And they said, Lord, where can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Have you realized that in your personal life and walk with the Lord when times are tough, when things are happening, and you're wondering where the Lord is, and all the time He's trying to get at something in our hearts, something spiritual, something deep. It's the work of the cross going on, and we can become offended. It's not strange, brothers and sisters. Remember John the Baptist? He was the forerunner of Christ. He was the one who said, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. And then he was put into prison. And we know he was beheaded. But before his execution, he sent out the message. He said, are you the promised one? You know, his faith was wounded because the Lord wasn't responding as he was expecting. He too probably was looking for the Lord to overthrow the Roman rule and government and free him from prison. God didn't explain anything to him either. But he was dealing with John deeply in his life. It was the work of the cross. John was to be a martyr for Jesus Christ. John didn't understand that at the time. But the Lord's response are, blessed are the unoffended in me. Thank God John received that word. And he did die a martyr's death. And he will be rewarded. Praise the Lord. But you see, the Lord was after the spiritual thing. And that's what so many didn't understand. And so many turned on our Lord, even to the point of crucifixion. Brothers and sisters, They thought they were okay. They thought they were God's chosen. But they did not understand their real spiritual condition before God. The Lord knew, and the Lord was trying to get at that spiritual condition. He was trying to get them ready, but they refused and rejected Him. But praise the Lord, thank God, there were a few. There were a few that were ready. We think of Elizabeth and her husband, who, of which John the Baptist was born, how they responded. You know, actually, the father, he was a little hesitant and a little unbelieving, but you know what? The Lord dealt with him. He took his voice. Couldn't say anything. And finally, on the day when the babe was born and they asked the father what his name would be, he didn't name him after a family name. He said, his name is John. And the Lord opened his voice and his heart to testify. It was the Lord. Well, it was Mary. And I read the story about Mary, how the angel came to Mary and said, look, one is going to be born of you, the Savior of the world, the Son of God. And she said, how can this be? I'm a virgin. I'm betrothed, but I'm not yet married. What? And he said, you will have this child. The Holy Spirit will do this work in your body. You know, she could have said, no, I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for the possible ridicule that I'm going to receive by being pregnant out of wedlock. But that was not her response to the Lord's messenger, was it? Her response was, behold your bondmaiden. I'm given to you, Lord. I'm given to the Lord. Be it to me according to thy word. Can we say that? Lord, particularly when it's tough, when he's asking something like this, be it to me according to thy word, Lord. Then there was Simeon. Old man in the temple. God had sent a messenger to him. A message. Look, he sent this message to us. But he sent this message to Simeon and said, you're not going to die physically until you see the consolation of Israel, until you see the Messiah. The coming one. Oh, how his heart leaped, how his heart took in faith, grabbed hold of that. And he knew that he would not die. And he lived for that. For the Messiah's coming. That's what he lived for. And every day he was in the temple. And finally one day he sees this babe. There's many babes that were brought to the temple. Every one of them that was Jewish. I think the eighth day they were brought. He had seen many babes over the years, but when he saw this one, he knew it. He knew that was the Messiah, and he testified to that before the people. He had heard the message, and he listened. He paid attention. He was aware, and it touched his heart, and it affected him daily. And he was in the temple before the Lord daily. About the consolation of Israel. It was his heart, brothers and sisters. Anna, the prophetess. What an amazing woman. Apparently her husband had died in the seventh year of their marriage. And 84 years after that, I don't know how old she really was, but for 84 years, every day it said day and night, she was in the temple, never left. Never left, praying about the coming Messiah, praying for His coming, looking forward to His coming. Boy, that was quite a heart, wasn't it? Well, you know, we have to go to work, don't we? We have to wash the dishes, we have to take care of the children, we have to clean the house. But you know, If our heart's right, it's always there. Deep down inside, Lord, I'm looking forward to your coming. Lord, when are you going to come? Lord, I pray for your coming. I pray for your soon return. What joy, Lord, it will be to my heart when I see you face to face. That was always in our heart. We see the shepherds in the field. They were working, taking care of sheep. Just regular guys, you know? Like you and I hope we're regular guys. I think most of us would consider that. Angels spoke to them. Remember, it was a message from God. God sent his messengers to them. Told them that a child had been born, a Savior. And he was in a manger, and they would find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. And you know what? When you read that story, if you read it again, they said, wow, we need to go immediately. There was no hesitation. There was no hesitation. They went immediately to see this one, this babe, the Messiah. You know, amazingly enough, even among the Gentiles, the three wise men, like some people say, the kings of the Orient. Now, we don't know that for a fact. Some think it came from Persia, some from China and other places, but we don't know. If they came from Persia, they would have had to travel for about 80 days on a camel. I don't know about that, but anyway, these were Gentiles. They had received a message. It was a star in the sky. Some special illumination in the sky. It says a star that they were able to recognize as a sign from God that the Messiah had been born. That the King of Kings had been born. And they may have been kings themselves. And they came to do homage to the King. It was in their heart. They had received that message and they took it to heart. It was a bright star in the sky. Well, you know, the Lord Jesus refers to himself as the bright morning star, doesn't he? Now, who sees the bright morning star? Yeah, that's because you get up early, don't you, Bobby? What time you get up, Bobby? 4:30. That's why he sees that Venus in the eastern sky. That's the Venus star. It's amazing, actually. In the wintertime, it is so amazingly brilliant, it's unbelievable. It's like it's hanging over your house. The Lord said he was the bright and morning star. It's that star, that Venus that arises in the eastern sky, just as twilight begins to come, those first rays, and you'll see that big star hanging in the sky. Now, I don't always get up that early, but I have often. And it's always a blessing to look for that morning star, particularly in the winter when it's cold anyway. And just be reminded of our Lord Jesus Christ, the bright and morning star, the brilliant star. But it's those who rise early that see it. Those who are ready, those who are awake, those who are preparing themselves, they are the ones that really see the bright morning star. They're ready. They're awakened. You know, in 2 Peter 1:19 it says, "We have a sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed, as unto a light that shines in darkness until the day dawns and the morning and the day star arises in your heart." Let me read that once again. "And we have a sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well to take heed to this message, as unto a light that shines in darkness until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. And what does all that mean? Well, there's a lot of different interpretations. But one thing I do know, it says we have a sure word of prophecy. Peter wrote this. He knew the Old Testament prophecies of the Lord Jesus. And those were confirmed at the Lord's baptism when God broke through the heavens and said, "This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased," and the Holy Spirit came down upon him. All of those prophecies were confirmed. And at the Mount of Transfiguration, when our Lord Jesus was transformed and we began to see his glorious body coming forth, and he could have exited and gone back to the Father, but he chose to stay here and die on Calvary's cross for you and I. They saw that. Peter saw that. He said all these prophecies have been confirmed, and they're sure. And now we have an even more sure word of prophecy that the Lord is coming back. He's coming back again to receive his own. And you need to lay hold of that word as a lamp in the night, as that morning star hangs in the darkness of the sky right before the sun arises. You need to pay attention to that lamp, the word of prophecy. That's what Revelation is, a word of prophecy. He says, pay attention to it, look to it, read it, study it, pay attention to it until it becomes brighter, the lamp becomes closer and closer in your heart. In other words, until you obtain by faith what the Lord is going to do in reality, and that's to come again. In other words, we've spoken of this spirit of rapture coming into our heart. It's like we're already there because of faith is able to lay hold of what prophecy has spoken. The messenger has been sent to us, brothers and sisters. It's here. The whole Word of God is our messenger, but in particular, in these days, we have the Revelation story. Well, you know, we can talk about the Lord's return. We can have knowledge of it, have all the facts down, and understand the order of things, maybe, and what's going to happen. A lot of people really get caught up in that. They study the signs, and we see the signs, don't we? I hope you do. In the weather, second hottest summer in history, which we endured. We've seen all the turmoil in the weather over the past 4 or 5 years, the tsunamis, the unusual hurricanes, the outbreak of tornadoes, earthquakes, even in Virginia. Unheard of in the past. Our economy, oh, what an earthquake. Boy, the crack opened, brothers and sisters, and a lot fell through that crack. You now, the value of your assets is now 40% less than what they were before all this happened. That may not mean much to you now because everything seems to be going on fine, but that's a 40% loss. Well, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying the signs are all around us. The lawlessness has increased. We see now that abortions are not shunned, but they are welcomed and they're considered good. And if you are against abortions, then you're evil. You're prejudiced. The same with gay marriages. I thought it was interesting. The Chick-fil-A situation where they're trying to keep Chick-fil-A out of New York. If I was Chick-fil-A, I'd stay out of New York. But anyway, it was interesting, the outpouring of people over that simple thing. And what I thought about was, Lord, all of the silent ones, all of the silent ones came out. Now, I'm not saying everybody that supported Chick-fil-A supported them because of the way we think about it, of the Lord and following the Lord's will. Many of them, it was a free speech issue. But they did come out. But it just shows you, it's a sign of the times. To say you believe in the Bible, you're being looked upon as ignorant, prejudiced, and evil. It's a sign of the times. The lawlessness has increased and the love of many grows cold. Brothers and sisters, are we really ready? You know, we can have knowledge of all these things, but our heart, just like at the Lord's first coming, may not be right. It needs to be right with the Lord. You know, I think of this matter of first love. Kenny's going to be sharing, I think, out of these on these churches. But this matter of first love, when I thought about it, I said, you know what first love really is? First love denounces self and desires only the Lord. I think that's first love. First love says, I'm not thinking about myself. I can only think about the Lord. I think that's first love. Self-interest goes in first love. But that was the failure at His first coming, was all that self and self-interest. And they misunderstood our Lord, and they weren't interested in the spiritual. Our Lord was. First love means we're interested in what the Lord's interested in and what His heart is upon, not our own. We've been studying Matthew 5, 6, and 7 recently. We've had quite a lively discussion over those chapters. Some of those words in there almost seem foreign to our way of life. But you know, those chapters were written to show us what the kingdom life is like. It's to show us what kingdom life really is. It's to show us the life that is agreeable with the Lord, and the life in which He can say, enter into my joy, good and faithful servant. It's a life. So, are we ready? We need to pay attention to the hour in which we live. And it's on my heart, and it's been, I said, in the beginning, to wake up to this hour in which we're in. To wake up and be ready for what the Lord would have. His second coming. You know, in Matthew 24 and 25, and in Luke 21, you read about the Olivet Discourse. And he mentions three things in specific. One, the fig tree. He said, you need to know that my return is right at the door when you see these things happen. And he mentions the fig tree. Now, he had cursed the fig tree a few days before he said this. But he, in this Matthew 24, he says, when you see the fig tree beginning to blossom and have leaves, you got to know, summer's nigh. I'm coming. Now, brothers and sisters, Israel went off the map. It was not a country until 1947, after World War II, the Jews were given their homeland in Israel. The fig tree had leaves. 1948, I'm sorry. I said 47, I think. In Luke 21, it said Jerusalem would be trodden underfoot till the fullness of the Gentiles had come into being. In other words, ever since Nebuchadnezzar, Jerusalem had been mainly under the rule of Gentiles. And in 1967, when they were invaded by the Egyptian forces and Syria and the surrounding nations, they actually took back land. Israel did. And they overcame. And they took Jerusalem for the first time. And the whole city became under their control. The age of the fullness of the Gentiles is waning. That's obvious. That was 1967. That was 45 years ago. Surely the Lord has been patient. He's waiting at that door. He mentions the days of Noah. Giving in marriage and just living life, you know, this becomes important to us. Just our everyday life is the important thing, not the spiritual. Marriage, giving in marriage, just doing these things. But there's something else about the days of Noah. Brothers and sisters, in the days of Noah, before the flood, God said, it has grieved me that I made man. His thoughts are evil. His deeds are evil. And I cannot bear it anymore. And I'm going to wipe them from the face of the earth. And he did. All but Noah and his family. It grieved the Lord that he had made man. Is it not, brothers and sisters, coming to that again, where man's thoughts are only evil and evil only? The days of Noah, surely they are upon us. Then he spoke. The Lord spoke, speaking to his disciples. He had pulled them aside to speak this Olivet Discourse. He said, when I come back, there will be two in the field. One will be taken and one left. There will be two grinding at the mill, one taken, one left. These words, watch, therefore. Be aware, be attentive, watch, for you don't know what hour that your Lord is going to come. This is the beginning of parousia. Watch. You do not know what hour. Watch. For the time is at hand. Watch. For the time is at hand. These messages, this message, the signs that we see, brothers and sisters, the Lord is trying to awaken us to be watchful, to be ready to meet him face to face. Blessed are those who hear, who read, who keep, who pay attention to this message, for the time is near. Lord, we just come to you today. Lord, we know you're coming soon. Lord, we get taken away by all the busyness of this life. We ask for forgiveness for that. Lord, we don't often see the day star. Lord Jesus, we just come to you. May our hearts, Lord, be drawn to you. May we, Lord, allow you to be king of our lives, Lord. Lord, may we not be offended by the difficult times that you often bring our way. That, Lord, we would learn, that we would take the way of the cross, that we would be made ready and prepared for your soon return, because, Lord, that's your heart's desire. You want every one of us who are alive and remain, are alive, to be raptured to the throne. Lord, you want us to be able, you want to be able to say to us, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of the Lord. Amen.